Our first reading today comes from James chapter 1, verses 17 to 22. Every generous act of living, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with the meekness that the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Our second reading today comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
There is a phrase I sometimes see on the internet when somebody complains about something that's happened in their life, and that phrase is first world problem. And the implication of that is there are real problems in this world, and there are problems that we think are problems because something doesn't go exactly right with our lives here in the first world where we have so much already. I'm going to start by telling you about one of my first world problems. I hate it when I get home and find that the jar of peanut paste that I picked off the shelf has on it those awful words, no added salt. Sometimes I see it on the jar. Sometimes, though, I don't see it until I'm sitting down ready to eat my breakfast and I bite into that piece of toast with the peanut paste on and it tastes like nothing. Nothing. Oh, it's awful. Now, in order to make it edible, I need to add salt to it. And in fact, I probably end up adding more salt to it than was in the original jar, which sort of defeats the purpose of it. I like my food flavoured with salt. A little bit, not too much. We hear about the dangers of too much salt. It can have an adverse effect on our health, and it's one more thing to watch out for in our diet. But as with cholesterol and good fats as well, the truth is our bodies need salt. Not much, for sure, but we do need salt. Mostly that is not an issue, and we generally get all we need in our diet without any effort. Salt has been valued and sought after throughout history. Not perhaps because it was seen as necessary to our diet, but because of the extra, more obvious benefits it offers. Salt preserves and keeps food, and so extends times of plenty. Salt can clean and promote healing. And of course, salt adds flavours to our meals that can otherwise be bland and uninteresting. Salt is necessary to life, to healthy life, to fullness of life, and Jesus tells us we are the salt of the earth, somehow connected to the life of the earth, somehow connected to its well-being and flourishing. We are the light, the salt of the earth. Not we should be, not we can be, but we are. We are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth, light of the world. The purpose of our life together is to bring out the flavour, the colour, the zest of life, the godliness of creation. Sometimes our saltiness will enrich the good that's already present. Sometimes it will enable the preservation of a good that otherwise might be lost. And perhaps sometimes too, it will sting in open wounds, in the open wounds of the world. A healing sting, but painful nevertheless. Sometimes our light will warm and energise. Sometimes it will bring out the beauty and colour of life, show us a way forward through difficult choices. And perhaps sometimes it will reveal things that can be painful to face. Salt and light were images Jesus and those who listened to him would have been familiar with from their use in the scriptures. They're used in the scriptures to illustrate God's relationship with God's people, to talk about the way God's people can reveal the divine vision for the world. The whole world is full of the presence of God. But if there are no groups singing and dancing out God's song, that is, living with gratitude and generosity for all that we have, then the presence of God may go largely undetected. For just as many of us cannot taste the full flavour of our food, our peanut paste on toast, without salt to bring it out, so the godliness of life will be almost undetectable without those who are salt of the earth. The letter from James reminds us of the role that we have. It begins with reminding us of the power of generosity to reveal the presence of God. Every generous act of giving is from God. Every generous act of giving is from God. Not just Christian acts of giving, if there is such a category, but every act of giving, every act of generosity, of giving of self in compassion and friendship and advocacy, this is all from God. And this reveals God. Wherever we find people giving of themselves, God is at work for the health of the world. And so many of our acts of giving can happen in any place, and none of these are restricted to Sunday. In fact, being more patient with family and those we work with, being careful listeners, speaking out against injustice, offering a hand in friendship, providing care, nearly all of these things are done outside of Sunday. Which leads me to a conclusion which we always need to keep before us, especially people like me, and David perhaps, who spend a lot of time preparing for Sunday. Our worship here is not the pinnacle of the Christian week. It's important. It is important, but it's not the pinnacle. It's not the purpose of our Christian living. Our worship is actually intended to serve and support our Christian lives. Monday to Saturday and Sunday, and in every place we go. Sunday is the day we are reminded again of God's generosity to us, when we are reminded of God's vision for our own lives and for the world, and sent out once more into that world to work with God for the health of the world. To, as Isaiah said, to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them, to satisfy the needs of the afflicted. Being salt, being light, is not about what we do here on Sundays. What we do here on Sundays is about how we can then let our light shine in the world out there every day. And stewardship is not just about allocating some time, some of our talents, some money to be given to the church or other worthy causes. Stewardship at its heart is about how we use all our time, all our talents, all our possessions, all our money. It's about every decision about how we allocate our time and resources. Salt and light are important, but they are not there to draw attention to themselves. Have you ever sat in a restaurant and seen someone served with a lovely meal prepared and the first thing they do is reach for the salt shaker and pour it on? I wince when I see that. I think of all the effort that's gone into it to get that food to taste just right. And on goes the salt. Adding salt is about bringing out the flavour in the food, the natural flavour. It's not about making everything taste of salt. And when we turn on the light, we don't do so we can admire the light. Oh, look at that 11-watt compact fluoro tube that now gives as much light as we used to get from a 60-watt incandescent bulb. We don't turn on the light to admire the bulb. We turn on the light so we can see what we are shining the light on. Our lives are to shine before others, not so they will look at us and applaud what we do or give us authority in their lives. Our lives shine before others as those who share with God in creating the light that is good, as those who know, as Jesus did, that abundant living begins with God's generous giving in creation and is fostered by our gratitude for what we receive and our generosity in sharing it. Our light shines through lives that touch others with generosity and compassion and justice and hope, through lives that invite others to shine with that same generosity and compassion and justice. Our light shine as those who are doers of the word, not merely hearers. And the word that is here translated as doer is elsewhere used as creator, and echoes again our role as partners with God in continuing the work of creation. Our living out of the word of God, the way of Jesus, is our joining with God in calling all life into living generously and abundantly. Let me tell you a short story, first told by another preacher many years ago. A college friend of mine named Paul received a new car from his brother as a pre-Christmas present. On Christmas Eve, when Paul came out of his office, a street urchin was walking around the shiny new car, admiring it. "Is this your car, mister?" he asked. Paul nodded. "My brother gave it to me for Christmas." The boy looked astounded. "You mean your brother gave it to you and it didn't cost you a thing? Boy, I wish..." He hesitated, and Paul knew what he was going to wish. He was going to wish that he had a brother like that. But what the lad said jarred Paul all the way down to his heels. "I wish," the boy went on, "I wish that I could be a brother like that." Letting our light shine is about both gratitude and generosity. For when generosity and gratitude come together in a story, they invite others to say, I wish I could be a sister, a brother like that. The theme we have chosen for our stewardship program, Let the Light Shine, arose out of the vision of growing our generosity, so that we are well placed to respond to calls to support those who are trying to share good news in their local context and who are constrained by limited resources. Our mission here at Morialta is important. It's significant to the people we serve, and we aim to keep supporting that mission by keeping pace with costs as they rise with inflation. And even as we recognise the importance of responding to our local situation with our programs, our presence, and developing our community centre, we also recognise that there are other types of need that we cannot respond to locally. Our vision is about being able to participate in God's mission, even in places beyond Morialta, to give to others in ministry, others who have a mission and who wish that they could be a brother, a sister like that, faithful people who are being light in their local context, but where lack of money could be a bushel that hides their shining light. So we've long had a relationship with Uniting Care Adelaide East, or Uniting Care Communities. I'm not quite sure what the current name is at the moment. Uniting Communities, is that right, Rhonda? Uniting Communities. We give to support their work, particularly at Christmas. We bring gifts for the hampers. Many of us go and have, at various stages, and some still do, go and pack those hampers. We know the good work that they do in supporting people in financial need. People that mightn't come here to ask for help, but will go to the Uniting Communities. And over the last couple of years, we have heard about people offering ministry to specific groups, disadvantaged groups. So we heard from Denise Champion from the Congress, the Uniting Aboriginal and Islander Christian Congress in South Australia. And we heard from Armel Mannion of the Sudanese Uniting Church community, a community made up of refugees. And we heard about the way these communities seek to serve Aboriginal people and refugees. We want to respond to help support their mission. And Church Council have committed to supporting these three groups. Our response through our gifts will help us to be generous in order to help other people be generous and to shine their light where they are. In the beginning, when God began to create, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that it was good and created human beings in God's image and gave them the responsibility of caring and stewarding all that was made. To be fully human is to be able to feel wonder and delight at the world we live in, to feel gratitude at all we have, and to know that we have enough. To be fully human is to be ready to share our abundance, to let our light shine. And as a church community too, we move more closely with God's purposes when our thinking about money moves beyond what we need to thinking and discussing and planning how we can be generous together. Generous in our time, generous in sharing our abilities in the programs we run, and generous in what we do with our money. This is what it means to know Jesus as the light of the world. The good news is we live in a world bathed in, filled with the light of God's generosity. And the good news is that those who have enough, who practice gratitude and generosity, can learn to share in shining that light so that all people can know what it is to look at the world and see that it is good. And the good news is we are light, the light of the world. Those who bring out the colour and the beauty and the worth of creation. You are light in the world. And as you let your light shine with your acts of generosity, so others too discover they are light. And the light shines and begins to fill the whole world. Let the light shine. Let the light shine.